welcome, Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael. We need you here. Every vote counts. It's a democracy, and we have to make it a democratic state. It is, but we have to make it a Jewish state. And the Jewish has to become before that. It has to be a Jewish democracy. Understand? Not a democratic so-called Jewish democracy. Elliot, we'll get there. I read the article. He said nothing was wrong. He was perfect. Shows you where we're at. It shows you where we're at. God have mercy. It begins with Chilul Shabbos, and it's a total decimation of any human dignity. They'll destroy the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam brought the first flood. You remember what the Chazal say. Mishkavei Zacha. Look into the Medrash Rabbah. And here, what we see, it's beyond words. And that's the whole part of the country where the buses are running Shabbos now. You follow? It goes, Chuldai, the mayor of Tel Aviv, when you daven, you say, La Mashrim Alti Tikva, you might as well say, La Chuldai Alti Tikva. God have mercy. All right, let's, we're ready. Welcome.
Don't Louis Wienerker.
Louis, I thought I saw a familiar face, Rabbi Wienerker. You just made me 50 years younger, that's all. Wow, Dovi, how are you? Don't forget when you get back to bring regards. Okay, I have special feelings. Sterner and Yesala. And his wife, Roline, what's her name? It's an Australian name. It's not a name we use in Borough Park or in Maplewood, New Jersey. All right, we can begin. Baruch Hashem.
I want to say hello. It's good to see you, Rabbi.
That you're invited to stay?
I know, but I have another appointment I have to... I hope you forgive me.
I forgive you. La Tchatchilada was no chiyuv. Let me roll here. We're rolling. I missed you last week, Scotty. What happened? You're in the army? Look at that haircut. That's my grandson, officer's training. You should see what they did to his hair. I thought an officer is a little chief.
They give you the Marine haircut.
All right, my dear students, it's Sunday morning, January 12th, 2020. And I want to say hello to the students in front of me and Be'ezrat Hashem. More will come this morning. And I want to say to all those listening and I am humbled by the emails that come in, and halavai should live up to what you think of me. I'll put it that way. I got one email that I can't even quote in public. I just showed it to my wife privately, and I called a student of mine from 50 years ago. He's a world-famous medical doctor, and I said, I can read this letter to you because we know each other too long. And you know it doesn't go to my head, but it's very moving because you saw how we struggled 50 years ago. So I thank you. The system is down here, so there's a backup of material. They're waiting for the repair people to come. And minkum taint, minkum morgen, Baruch Hashem, outside of the army, everything functions here a little bit slower. A number of comments I want to make. Rabbi Rubin asked me about the minute here to light 40 minutes before Shabbos. So I just want to explain rather briefly the question of lighting Shabbos candles. There's no halacha. It's just the halacha that it has to be lit before Shabbos. Minig Yisrael in Yerushalayim is 40 minutes before among the Ashkenazim simply to avoid any chance of Chilul Shabbos. It's a minhag. You want the proof that it's a minhag? In Borough Park, no one lights 40 minutes before Shabbos. In Petach Tikva, they do light 40 minutes before Shabbos. So ask the question, you follow me, Dov? My high, Bnei Brak, they don't light 40 minutes. Why Petach Tikva? Because it was Yerushalmiim who founded it. So in Petach Tikva, you find a lot of Minhage Yerushalmi. Until Rav Ovadia came along, the Sfatim never made an issue out of it. But Rav Ovadia, who's, you know, we go with the Beis Yosef, Ashkenazim Yotzim Biyad Ramah, a play on words, Ramah, the Ramah, but he brought back Sfatic pride, and he said, all right, they like 40 minutes, we like 20 minutes. New York, the minig is 18 minutes. Avram in Borough Park, what's the minig? 15 minutes. I grew up 18 minutes. What did you grow up in Boston?
18.
18 minutes was all over. When the Satmar came, I told you there was a riot because they were nohig like the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Satmar was called to order that in America it doesn't go. You want to be nohig like Rabbeinu Tam, it's only Motzai Shabbos, not Erev Shabbos. Why did the Satmar go along with it? That I'll explain, as God should give me strength in a number of years from now, when one or two years, when I deal with Satmar, you'll understand why he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. He came here right after World War II, from Switzerland he came here. But he tried Minhag Rabbeinu Tam, and here they're not so polite. In America, they told him it doesn't go. Here they were a little bit stronger, so he wound up in America, for which might have been for better, not for worse. Okay, so that's answering your question. Regarding the question of Hadlokot Neirot that I raised in class, so I have to tell you, I had tremendous nachat. My student, Rav Yeshua Grinstein, sent me a tshuva that Rav Usher Weiss just published on the topic of lighting candles, and he comes out against Reb Heschel Shechta. So my standing firm against Reb Heschel, I'm now backed up by Reb Usher Weiss, Baruch Shekivanti Ledas Gedolim. Well, hold on, I just want to quote, you want to ask me, or you want to hear the quote? Okay, so he says, he's writing this tshuva, there's no date on it. It was sent to me a few days ago, but I don't see any dates. There's a date on the second Shiva. It's according to this, it's 2001. But there's no date on this particular Shiva. And I'm only quoting one part of it that I'm translating. It's written in Hebrew. Lo akached, I'm not going to hide from you, shemitzta'ani. I'm very, very upset that I recently saw a sefer written by someone who I greatly respect, and he's a Mabitz Torah Barabim, and he's talking about Rav Heschel Shechta, and he says that you shouldn't light candles on Yom Tov Sheni, because you shouldn't make a bracha, shouldn't light candles, and I totally and absolutely agree with him that this is Hotzat Laz, that all made brachat and lit candles on Yom Tov Sheni, and even Erev Shabbos, if there's light in the room, I still feel you absolutely have to light candles and make a bracha, and chas v'chalila, that you should not do this. And it's a very powerful statement. And he deals with a number of achronim, but he comes out very firmly on what I said in class. Baruch Hashem, we can't overthrow Minhag Yisrael. This is so important to our existence. There's a certain humility we have to have. You can have all the lumdus in the world, but halacha lemaisa, you have to be humble. If this is what Jews are doing, we have to be melamed zchut. So here, we now have Rav Usher Weiss. Yeah, no, I listen. In the shul I daven, they don't read at night. And in Yerushalayim, all the years I've been here, I heard again and again the Gra didn't read. On the other hand, I hear people tell me, Effie, the Gra did read. But halacha lemaisa, you can't come out and criticize shuls that do read the Torah, Simchas Torah night. For Haraya, Simchas Torah morning, we give out 100 aliyot. In my learning, I know on Yom Tov you only have 5 aliyot. Yom Kippur you have 6, Shabbos you have 7. Ma pitom, every Tom, Dick and Harry who comes to shul aliyot, you give an aliyah. But that's Minhag Yisrael. It conquers the Torah. It conquers the halacha. Minhag Yisrael, it comes from Ahavat Torah. The Jews love Torah. They dance with the Torah. And you know what Simchas Torah meant for the Jews in Russia during the Dark Ages. We were exposed to it. So, Baruch Hashem, I feel a little better because who am I to come out against Reb Heschel Shechta in this very building? We spoke in the hallway a minute before class, if you recall. And then I come out, but I'm on firm territory. Yes, though, Vic.
Yeah, no, you answered.
I answered the question.
Yeah, I mentioned what you said yesterday, and they said, how come you like the first, on the first day of Yartav?
Yeah, no, the Seder, and there's even a machloikis, it could be you light before the second day Yontif begins, that it's not a din in Chachana, it's a din in covered Yontif, and this is the way it goes. We light after, it becomes dark, it's like Chachana, not everyone agrees it's Chachana, there were good Jews who lit the Erev Yontif. But you see, if you take it literally, that if there's electricity, you don't have to light, and do away with the whole concept of lighting Friday night.
Right.
It all disappears. Yes, Effie.
For lighting the first night, I know some people are mocked to, before they light, they turn off the lights in the room and then...
Right. That's what I tell everyone. That's what we do in our house. We light up everything and then my wife lights the candles. And that's a shtickle in Eitzah. But nevertheless, the Rambam, I quoted again, when I said it, I thought I was saying my own Chiddush. Where the Rambam describes that Lokot Neirot and Hilchot Shabbos, you see, it's part of the ambience that creates the atmosphere of Shabbos. And I showed you, Achronim, with the Machlokes today, people came out and agreed with me. I want to make another comment that's very interesting. This is Rav Asher Weiss. You all know there was just a big discovery in the city of David. Archaeologists discover what might be a 2,000-year-old marker. What does it mean, a marker? To measure. It's unbelievable. So Yomo asked me a very simple question. Will the people who deal with Sheyurim take this, measure it, and try to reach Halacha L'mayim? We need someone here who's going to be an archaeologist and that knows how to learn Halacha L'maisa, what do we see? You understand? And this takes us into the whole question of the Chazon Ish, of the Chumras, of the No Dibi Yehuda. Has the Yegg become smaller, larger? Very fascinating. I don't have an answer. I can only tell them time will tell. Another thing that I said in class, and I thank Yoshua Grinstein, I had great hanah. You all recognize Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I trust. Rabbi Yaakov, Dovi, you never met Rabbi Yaakov. You shake your head. Did you know him or you know of him?
No,
I know his whole family. And Nadam Gadol. But a normala. You know a little Yiddish?
Yeah.
Remember what I learned in Lakewood? A normala. So Rabbi Yaakov, I'm quoting from the biography, the Yad Scroll biography, which is not a bad piece of work. It's by Rosenblum. The basis of it is based upon Making of a Gadol. But the Making of a Gadol, when Rosenblum came out with this biography, so then Rav Nassen, his son, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, came out with something much more encompassing. So I'm quoting from page 271. Remember what I told you, that I had your side a week ago from my mother, 2 weeks already, I don't remember. Vav Shvat. So my minig is my father, I don't do anything because it's Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So Memeler, it's the time. What I do is I see that my grandsons, who were his great grandsons, Daven Famamid, Leyen. So I think that's a big schut for my father. But for my mother, I always make a siyum on a mesechet. So I have a backup of mesechtot waiting, Baruch Hashem, l'sayim. Because I'll have to make again Erev Pesach, the minyan I daven. Unfortunately, it falls upon me to make the siyum. So I'm all right, I have for next year too, but God should be kind. Anyway, so I mentioned to you, what is the yard site? So I've become half Litvak, half Chassid. The Rav, every Yahrzeit fasted, taught Mishnayot. Well, at my age in life, I'm not ready to fast on a Yahrzeit, but I can't be a total chassid with a tikkun, so I make a siyum. So after the siyum, you have to make a tikkun. It's called the Kiddush popularly, but it should be called the collation in English, a tikkun in Hebrew. No, I'm half and half. Rav Yaakov often relied on humor to make his point. That humor was sometimes gentle and sharp. He was once speculating on the deviation of the common practice of serving whiskey and cake in shul on a yard site. By the way, underline the word whiskey. We'll come back to it today in halacha. Whiskey and cake. Originally he suggested people fasted on yard sites in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch. He gives you the source, Shulchan Aruch, fine. Eventually, that became too difficult for many. So they replaced the fast with a siyum and served food as part of the subsequent Sudat Mitzvah, as we're accustomed to do, the Tainit of the firstborn before Pesach. With the passage of time, people remembered the eating in shul on the yard site, but forgot that it was occasioned by a siyum. Thus, the original fast was replaced by food with nothing else left to show for it. So I want to tell Rabbi Yaakov that at least your humble servant, Aaron Rakefet, makes a siyum with the tikkun, half litvak, half chasid. Okay. Finally, I was challenged, and we have Avraham here, so he'll find my comment interesting. He can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. But I mentioned that the Young Israel of Flatbush now went out of business, and they sold the whole building to Flatbush Yeshiva. And I mentioned that in Flatbush, today, the so-called modern Orthodox world no longer has a foothold. I remember 1929, I was there when the Young Israel of Flatbush was dedicated. You know who the main speaker was, Elliot? Rabbi Revel. It was in every newspaper. Rabbi Dov Revel spoke. What a moment, a beautiful synagogue with a mechitza, Orthodox. It was revolutionary. American people, business people. And from today, almost 100 years later, they can't even get a minyan. So I mentioned, I got an email from Steve Weisberg, and he says, there are in fact several Young Israel in Flatbush. The Young Israel of Flatbush is still fully functional. Its membership went down, but not, as was implied, due to right-wing Judaism, but due to the Syrian makeup of Midwood and the Coney Island area, making the neighborhood prohibitively expensive for younger blood. Currently, the Yisrael Flatbush is in the process of merging with the Talmud Torah across the street. One of the major problems of Yisrael Flatbush is the large number of steps needed to climb to the main sanctuary. Disclosure. Rabbi Orman, who has been here since Rabbi Shaffman retired, is my brother-in-law, etc. Anyway, I just want to mention we're both right and we're both wrong. The Young Israel of Flatbush and Flatbush Yeshiva are kept going by the Sfadim. That's their home. They're not going to budge. Flatbush Ocean Parkway. I don't have to tell you the temples, the mikvot, the Yina Machloiket within the Syrian community, the right wing, the centrist. No, I know a little bit about it. I have many students from there. And on the other hand, I do stand on that. Flatbush in general, it's no longer a bastion of modern orthodoxy. The Haraya, BTA, Central Yeshiva, what are we talking about? The heart of YU at one time, who were the graduates of BTA? Meir Kahana, Erwin Greenberg, Alan Dershowitz, Hagadolah Meshebaaretz. He sure did, Alan Dershowitz.
Rabbi Zura threw
him out. No, he didn't throw him out, he put him down. And you learn from
the...
Take my word for it, he graduated, he's in the yearbook. Rabbi Zuroff made a tragic mistake. When you're a Rebbe, even if you have a future gangster, go out of your way to be nice to him, because he'll never forgive you. He'll always hold against you what you say to him. And if you read Dershowitz's writings, he goes after Rabbi Zuroff, boy, he took revenge. Even though it says you shouldn't take revenge, boy, does he give it to him in some of his writings. And Daila Hakima Barumiza. And Central Yeshiva High School, that's where Stern College develops from. Believe me, Today you're not going to get away with it in Flatbush. And a second raya, Vaharaya, the Flatbush Jewish newspaper has no pictures of women in it. And if I'm correct, the Five Towns Jewish newspaper, which is a sister publication, does have pictures of women. Am I right or wrong, Ellie?
Yeah.
Could you imagine in the Five Towns, you oisvaf, you shake it, you push duck, we banish a lilam, how do you let them get away with it? Tmunis from Nashim, Arayas, Ivey. But in Flatbush, they can't get away with it. Avram, what do you say? No, the Rebbe's not always right, but here. All right, a student like that can't be bad. Let's roll. All right, let's now. All right, so we spent a lot of time, and this is learning. It's not you reach a conclusion, but it's so interesting. Kiddush Shabbos morning, and what do you mean by Chama Medina and whiskey and schnapps, and how much do you have to drink? And these problems are real, and we all know, Klal Yisrael, ask yourself what you made Kiddush on Shabbos morning. All right, this particular Shabbos, I was Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot, because I made my own Kiddush at 8 o'clock on wine, and I had the sparkling wine for Kiddush for my wife at 11:30. So twice I made on wine, I was Yotzei L'chol HaDeyot. But the Klal Yisrael, schnapps, how much can you drink? Where's the Melo Lugmab? Where's the Melo Lugmab? All right, we suffer with it. What about orange juice? What about orange juice, Kiddush, Havdalah at least? And there we ended off the shir, and Reb Menashe Klein says in Paris, New York, say, Lachatchila perhaps in New York, only b'diavad, b'diavad. And he made the point that in Paris, people drank not only wine at every meal, but they drank fruit juices. And it raises the whole question here in Eretz Yisrael today, where fruit juices now become very big on the market. This is a development I've seen in the 51 years that I'm here. I've seen the fruit juice become a big part of the market. It did not exist 51 years ago, perhaps not even 25 years ago. But it's an interesting question. But let us go further. We're now in the Mishnah Halachot, Chelek Yudchet, Siman Kuf Tzadi. And here's a tshuva from 1991. And he's asked a very simple question. What about making Havdalah on soda? And here we talk about soda. I need not tell you, anyone who invested in Coca-Cola 100 years ago, if he invested $1, he's a multi-millionaire today. That's the story with Ann Scheiber, which one of the greatest stories ever. Some of you should go on to become writers, produce movies. Produced the movie of Ann Scheiber, how Rabbi Lamb, a call comes into his office, and I've told the story many times, but let me just mention it again. So Rabbi Lamb, a lawyer wants to speak to you, some donation. So Lamb says, please, don't bother me. Let him speak to one of the lower people. What is a donation? A lawyer? $1,000? $10,000? You know, why are you? We're not talking here schnurres. And the lawyer says to the lady, tell the rabbi it's quite a donation. The guy gets on the phone. He tells Rabbi Lamb, I think it was $23 million. By the time the legate, you know, the family challenged it, because right away they said she was didn't know what she was doing, her lawyer influenced her. By the time the money was released, it was $32 million. And then they were going to Stern College that studies science. Any lady going to medical school from Stern College gets tremendous financial help. So this is an unbelievable story, because no rabbi ever knew who Ann Scheiber. She lived on the Upper West Side. Maybe she went to Shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. No rabbi even knew her. No one, there's no one. She never married. So they checked out, where did this woman get so much money? She came from a home of immigrants. Her parents didn't make heavy money. She was a secretary. She retired when she turned 65. She got a settlement, retirement, whatever. So she got advice what to do with it. They told her to buy Coca-Cola stock. It was right after World War II. No, I need not tell you. She never touched the money. She had Social Security. She had a bit of a pension. Her lawyer said in the early 70s, he yelled at her, "Anne, what are you watching a black and white television? You can afford a colored one." He forced her to buy a colored television. You follow me, Dove? But she read in the papers that Stern College, women can study science and go on to medical school. And she was a very bright woman who wanted to be a medical doctor. But in her time, a woman, a medical doctor? Who heard of such a thing? She became a secretary. Either you became a secretary or a teacher. And she willed all her money to Stern College for women. Nephews and nieces challenged it. They lost in court. The rest is history.
So
Simon Kuftsadi. Soda. You talk about Coca-Cola. No, tell me what happened in Israel. Yitzhak, you're living here. It happened in your time. Rav Avadya, in the middle of his shir, said, "Coca-Cola, tam hachayim." It could be he was talking about Havdalah. I don't remember. Or Dalit Kosat. And he said, do you remember what happened? A reporter in the newspaper wrote that he was paid by Coca-Cola to mention it. Remember what Ari Derry did? He had the guy fired for poking fun at Rav Avadya. All right, that tells you who Ari Derry is and how stupid the reporter is. But it tells you also Rav Avadya had a sense of humor. Tam hachayim. Nu, can you make Havdalah on Coca-Cola? This is a very fascinating question. Now, Reb Moshe deals with it in an epic-making tshuva that will come to... I'm going to do it afterwards. I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to do it after this tshuva. But before we go any further, I want to give you the source. I want to give you the Gemara. And I'm going to show you a big insight from Rav Menashe Klein. Look at the way he learns the Gemara. It's a Gemara that everyone here knows. It's a Gemara that Klal Yisrael will reach very shortly. Brachot Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. Okay. And the Gemara, you all know this Gemara. The Gemara says, Michtei Anshei Knesset HaGadol LaTiknu Lechem LiYisrael Brachot UTfilot Kedushot Vahavdalat. And all our davening, all our siddur, everything we talk about, everything we do, goes back to Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. So the Gemara asked, Nechzei Heiche Tikun, where did they institute Havdalah? And the Rishonim say, and by the way, Art Scroll is very good here, it's interesting. Sometimes they come in too much and you get lost. You know, there's a lot that's been written recently of comparing Artscroll to Steinsaltz, etc. I'm talking about the English. I don't really use, if I'm learning, I mean, whenever I learn, I'll always look into Steinsaltz, but the Hebrew, I look into the Yunim, it's very fascinating to me. But Steinsaltz, at times, I find you get lost. Here is a very insightful comment, and he says right away, That the Art Scroll, Art Scroll says right away, what did the Gemara mean? Where did they establish it? So what the Gemara meant is very simple. This is something that happens every week. It can't be forgotten. It can't be lost. It's not like the question of Smicha, the Gemara in Tamura, Daf Tetvav. It's not like something that happens once in a while, so you can forget. Like, for the sake of argument, you'll ask a question, what did the Rav do on Simchas Torah? And until today, I can't get a clear answer. Did they lay it in Maimonides? Didn't they lay it in Maimonides? Here, Yitzchak followed the Rav from Dorchester. Where did you live after Dorchester?
No, I never did. My parents moved to Brooklyn.
Your parents moved to Brooklyn? you went on to YU. All right, I'm in the similar story. I always grew up in the East Bronx, and then I got married. I moved to the West Bronx for a year, and then the big world, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Yerushalayim. Okay, so, you know, something that happens once a year, you can forget, you can be mixed up. But Havdalah that happens every Shabbos, people are not going to be mixed up. Where were they metakein Havdalah, heiken tikun? And the Gemara says, very interesting story. Betchila kavu betfila. Originally, they made a takana. You should do it during davening. Atachaneng liadam dat. We do it during davening. Fine. Remember, this is all the Rabbanan. You're not dealing here with the Oraita. It's not like Kiddush Friday night duvi where you have the Oraita. This is all the Rabbanan. So they made it in davening Motzoi Shabbos and Mariv Atach Chanantanu, put in the Havdalah for Motzoi Shabbos. Fine. Heshiru, when the Jews became wealthy, Kavu ala hakos. They said, take a kos, make Havdalah. Basically, let's say it means wine. You have money, you can afford to buy wine. Let's say it on an additional Havdalah. And la halacha, you know the way it works. The Havdalah we make in davening permits malacha, but the Havdalah we make al hakos permits achila v'shtiyah. Or as the Rav used to say, it changes the Shabbos table into a weekday table. This is why I told you the Rav was always makpid to leave the tablecloth on the table to left the Havdalah. You follow me, Scotty? It's symbolic. It's symbolic that until now the meal was a Sudat Shabbat. And now we made Havdalah, we take the tablecloth off, it's now Sudat Chol. Chassidim would have a problem with this because they make a Malava Malka, and if you ever saw a Chassidic Malava Malka, it's practically like a Sudat Shabbat. Candles, the works. Am I right or wrong, Avram? It's right on. We litvak. Excuse me. Fleish, matzah, Shabbos. No, I understand the chvashtei. But it's different. I know that I'm makpid. It's a result of Chabad. I spoke with litvakin. They said me. Again, I'm breaking into Yiddish. The Eliot. What can I do? But I'm living it. I spoke with litvakin in my youth. The Mira crowd, the Shanghai, quote, Vetgehet from a Malava Malka. They never heard of a Malava Malka in Europe. Never. So I never was really that makpid that you have to eat. I know that it's just in Kabbalah there's a bone that develops from eating Malava Malka, and that's the bone that Triat HaMeitim begins with. But when I was in Australia, Duvi, and I got to Sydney, and boy, they rule with an iron hand, Chabad, you understand? Melbourne, Sydney, and suddenly, Matzai Shabbos, they're making a Malava Malka in my honor, and they say, no, every Jew has to eat a Malava Malka without that, at least something. So from that time on, I'm a Makpid, the Epistaf Minyas, and Matzai Shabbos, me Malava Malka. But it's not Hasidish. I was invited once to Rabbi Shalom Dovber Kowalski's home Saturday night, and I came in. I couldn't believe my eyes. So I don't know if he doesn't follow the Rav evidently, or maybe he takes off the Shabbos tablecloth and puts on another tablecloth, or maybe they hold that the Malava Malka is a continuation of Kedushat HaShabbos from Daf Malava Zayin the Malka, the Shabbos HaMalka. We greeted it with Lachad Dodi, so it could be you leave the tablecloth on. All right, we'll ask, what do you do, Avrami? What do you do, Matzai Shabbos? Which tablecloth? You leave it on. All right, but the Rav's lumber. I'm not put to spill the wine, but on the newspaper. Again, what can I do? Jews do it. I know that if you're going to be a Litvak, you can laugh at it, but I mean, you have to have a little bit of patience. Anyway, so, Yomo, what did you want to say? I saw your hand was up. Bon appetit.
Why is it that the black and white Siman and Shulchan Aruch.
That what?
Making Olam Malka.
Black and white, Siman and Shulchan Aruch. It says to eat something, but not the concept like they do with candles and Levitikai. You hear meat, flesh. Who can eat meat? You eat meat, Shabbos. And say them. Zalman Zayn Gesund, let the Chassidus is beautiful. Look, let me tell you with the Reb Chaim Isaac Grzynski. I was there in Vilna. They came over to him and they saw signs up in Vilna, Yutet Kislev, Rosh Hashanah L'Chassidut. You know the story. Signs were up all over Vilna, the Chassidim, the Chabadnikim are having a celebration. So they came to Reb Chaim Isaac Grzynski, Litvish, you know, with a sardonic sense of humor. And they said, Ba'uns in Mishnah Shteta, in our Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah says there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and here suddenly they have a fifth. And Rav Chaim Isaac said, I quote, Is I correct? You're correct, it's true. We only have four, not five. But it's interesting, he said, By the Chassidim, Ba'zei is Alamol Meir, and Ba'uns is Alamol Veinik. That the Chassidim are always adding, and we're always detracting, taking away. So it's a good vote from Reb Chaim Isaac Grzynski, who you will not suspect of being a chassid. Okay, but anyway, Hashiru, they made Havdalah on the coast. Then they became poor again. Ha'anu, Chazru v'kavu b'tfilah, they put it back in davening only, not in the coast. V'chem amru, Hamavdil b'tfilah tzarich sheyavdil al hakos. But when time passed and they got wealthy again, so they said, do it on a kos in addition to doing it on tfilah. And that's what we paskan halacha lemaisa. We make havdalah b'tfilah, we make havdalah on a kos. Now, tell me, here the question comes along. Can you make Havdalah on soda? So what is soda? What is soda? Lachatchila, we all know the Lashon of Rambam, we quoted many times, Perek Haftet, that Havdalah and Kiddush are the same, and both should be made on wine. But in a course of time, people started using, and their sources for it, other beverages besides wine. Tell me, what was required of the beverage? It has to be something mechubad, something that has an air of chashivut around it. It's important, it's dignified. Does water reach that category? And here he says, water, if you could make Havdalah on anything, why did they abolish it on a kos? Go back to the Gemara and Bracha. This is Reb Moshe Klein. This is his Chiddush. Why did they abolish it on a kos? You should be able to make Havdalah on wine. No, you should be able to make Havdalah on water. They have no wine. They have no beer. They have no liquor. The people are poor. They've come back to Eretz Yisrael. You know what it was like in Bayit Sheni when they started to build? They're impoverished. If you can use all types of liquid, make Havdalah on water. You want to dismiss water, it's not chashuv enough, and he says, could be water. You honor people, you use bottled water, I'm quoting his words here. You can enhance water, but you never saw a takana? They abolished it altogether. You got poor, Havdalah during davening, no Havdalah on the coast. They abolished it altogether. Not only that, what about milk? What about tea? Everyone has tea. What is tea? Even poor people drink tea. It's essentially water. Why didn't they say you can make Havdalah on tea? More than that, if you can make Havdalah on milk, and remember, he's dealing here with the Orech HaShulchan, he's dealing here with the sources we spoke about. If you can make Havdalah, why not on milk? No one lacks for milk, and you know what he quotes here, the Pasuk, Erev Tzavash Chalav Udvash. That the land of Israel, filled with milk, filled with honey, everyone has milk, make Havdalah on milk. Why did it say when they became poor, they abolished the kos altogether? And by the way, milk is very interesting. On one hand, you're not going to get drunk drinking milk. On the other hand, milk is very healthy. Calcium, very important. And Einachinami, Israel doesn't lack for milk. As poor as we were 51 years ago, I still remember the milk deliveries. You left the bottle in front of your door. Two bottles, three bottles, little bottles. You have no idea how primitive life was here 51 years ago. You have no idea. Everyone is killing Netanyahu. My heart goes after him. The Likud changed the whole country, got rid of the communism here, got rid of the socialism here. We're the wealthiest country in the world today. You know what's going on? Look what the dollar can't rise by. Just traded some dollars for shekel. I got for dollars, 3.35, something like that. I couldn't believe my eyes. Unbelievable. I remember when it was 4.2, and we're without a government, without an economy, without this, without that. And Ribbono Shel Olam, the Yiddish Cup, they just sold another business for $2 billion. And you don't even know. There was a guy who worked here in this building of Moroccan origins who changed his name. He said he had a funny Moroccan name, changed it to an Israeli name, became a millionaire overnight. You don't believe me? Your mobile certify the story. He was a graduate of Machon Lev, from guy at Tzaddik, you should have no idea, Madakdek B'mitzvot Kalaka Chamura, overnight he became a millionaire. He was in the newspaper, one of 20 guys. They sold off for $1.5 billion each one. No, Avrami, you know what he did? This is Eretz Yisrael. Here's a guy who was maybe 29, 30, had served in the army already. He was a army Machon Lev graduate, went to Hezda army, you know, the works of... He said to me, Rebbe, I wasn't born just to make money. I was born to be a good Jew. He's an officer in the Navy. He's on a boat today in charge of all the electrical equipment. Follow? That's what he, his wife went along with it, their children. You know, he doesn't come home every night. It's a different ballpark. But serving the country, because he had that ability, he said, that's it. Have enough money. Become a millionaire when you're 30 years of age, a multimillionaire. Can I inherit? But everyone has milk here. And you see the definition. He's very, very powerful. And you see the butter shortage, very fascinating. There's all the butter you want now imported from Denmark, imported from Poland, and it's all Chalav Yisrael. I don't know how they do it. They must have, I think this is why the Chassidim have Parnassa today. Because they didn't go to college, not university people, but they need mashgichim all over the place. And they probably send a slew of mashgichim, Poland, Finland, Denmark, all the butter you want today. Not Israeli butter. They stop like unbelievable. And I'll tell you something else. This shows what, when you import, how it affects the economy. You see, it challenges the prices because we're already paying high salaries here. Who knows what they're getting in Poland? I know there was a robbery, someone I davened with in Yatama. In my neighborhood, there are robberies every day. It's very sad, very sad. The police are busy with more important matters, but you have to be so careful. Anyway, this gentleman had in his home dollars, euro, and Polish money. Places where he's traveled, and he comes originally from Germany, so occasionally he goes back to Germany. It's the family's from Germany. His father's a graduate of Hildesheimer. Fine Talmud Chacham studied in Gateshead, the really an Elachiyid, the psychologist, wonderful Jew. The robbers are so intelligent in Israel, they took the dollars, they took the euro, they left all the Polish money there. They didn't, that is left, they didn't touch one thing. But all right, Israel, people, milk, it's not, don't get drunk on it. But he says, if that becomes a hush of a drink, why didn't they make a takana that you make Havdalah on milk, on tea? And he says, we see from that that they required something more chashuv. And he constantly uses the word that it has to be mishaker, that it has alcohol, alcoholic contents. And this is the way Reb Menashe Klein would define it. Halacha l'maisa, he says, water is out, soda is out. Bidiavad, if you have no choice, could be you can make Havdalah on milk, on tea, bisamach, on the Aruch HaShulchan, and deals with a very interesting problem. What bracha do you make? Bracha levatala. And he comes up with the following etza. Listen very carefully. Tell me, are you making a bracha levatala? You're making Havdalah? Which, you know, Vic, I don't want to frighten you, but if you don't say Hinei Elikekel Yeshua Tach, you don't say Havdalah 100%. There's the famous story, someone came into Reb Moshe Soloveitchik's house, and he couldn't get over it. When he reached the bracha, Baruch, and by a Hasidic Rebbe, if today a Hasidic Rebbe would have a whole choir, it would take 50 minutes to say, but that's psukim we added on. That's not even Havdalah. Baruch atanzunela shakol niye bidvaro. That's not a bracha levatala. You're drinking milk, you're drinking tea. Adarabba, you follow me, Elliot? Ah, but the bracha of Hamavdil, so he says, he would like to paskin, you say, like we say during davening, or if you say, for instance, I turn off the, I'm in charge of the Shabbos elevator now in my house for about 49 years already. So I turn it on and I turn it off. So sometimes we're finished davening, it's before the Zman or a minute before. I want to stay, I just want to be sure, you know, Chilul Shabbos, you don't play games. So I always take a little later Zman. Like yesterday I turned it off at, I looked at 5:33 where the elevator is. Although some calendars all said 5:32, fine. So I turn it off. So like in Amoritz, I say again, Baruch HaMavdil, because I'm not just, I said it in davening, I'm saying it again, I'm about to turn off the elevator, fine. So you can say, Baruch HaMavdil without a bracha. He says, Lachat Chilah. But then he says, there are people who he remembers from Europe that women made Havdalah, and they made a bracha. V'gam shachronim iskimu shelo levarech b'shem malchut b'chom akom ra'iti b'yurip. And he writes in parentheses, Europa, in modern Hebrew, nashim sherbarchu b'shem umalchut imratzu la'asot malacha. And yeah, this is important. Ma'aserav, with his own eyes. Remember, it takes us back to what we said almost an hour ago. Im lo nevihim b'nei nevihim heim. Fuk hazim mayama devadim. Am bracha. Af mem heim ad aleph. Women made a bracha. If they were going to do malacha, their husbands went home from shul. The husbands, I remember when I was a kid, I write about it in Washington, we were on our way to B'nai Akiva in Brooklyn, and that was a big trip from East Bronx to Brooklyn, three different subways. I know different things to comprehend what I'm saying, but one of the stops we get to Williamsburg, and we went to the Satna Rav's Tish. The girls had to wait outside. Today, believe me, Avremi, we couldn't pull that off. The women should stand outside in the cold. And I went in. Bazeis Nachgeven Shabbos. The Rebbe was speaking, crying. I didn't understand the word. His Yiddish was an Hungarian Yiddish. And he's crying while he's speaking. It doesn't mean some of the Hasidim understood him well. It's their Rebbe. But, what an experience that was. But here it was 2 hours after Shabbos. And Bazeis Nach Shabbos. So let's say one of the women wanted to do work. She would say, like we say, Baruch HaMelech V'Ol HaChoshech. Sometimes you have a man, they were Marich B'Tfila, so someone will turn the lights on. You follow me, Dov? You have to say, Baruch HaMavdil. He saw women made a bracha, and Yesham Milismach. The Achronim who say, if you're saying Baruch HaMavdil, you can make a bracha. So if that's the case, then you have choice. You can do like he would like, Lachatchila, Shehakol on the chalav, shehakol on the tea, and Baruch HaMavdil without a bracha. But if you feel you have to make a bracha, and it could be psychological, if you don't make a bracha, it's not real. You haven't done it. You haven't accomplished. You understand? A bracha gives it chashivut, importance, tangibility. So you have al mi lismoch to make a bracha. This is Rav Menashe Kleinman. He's against, because it's not you don't become drunk. You don't become drunk. But we're not finished yet. We're far from that.
In other words, his criteria is intoxicated.
Yeah, it's. Ramesh, you'll see what Ramesh is totally different. Totally different. He Rav Moshe Merav Sinigra here, what Rav Moshe introduces. Okay. B'dyevet on milk or tea? Tea is water, by the way, but it's a little bit mechashev because you've added something to it. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, here we're coming. At the end you'll see what I have to, my student who disagrees with Rav Moshe, and you'll see what I've come up with. But first we have to hear Rav Moshe. Those of you who didn't know Rav Moshe was one of a kind. It's hard to convey to the new generation who these people were. You have to experience it. Vic, you met Rav Moshe? Good. Your neighbor. Dov, did you ever meet Rav Moshe? You know that he came to New Jersey, Newark. Yeah. There was a fundraiser for Tiferet Moshe, Tiferet Yerushalayim, right. Tiferet Yerushalayim, I knew I didn't have it right. He came a number of times. I remember greeting him there. Ugh. It's a world, you know, then, you know, Rav Avadya too, the personality, the warmth, the humaneness. All right, we're quoting Rav Moshe. Let me give it to you straight. It's the second time he deals with Or HaChaim. It's Igrot Moshe. It's Or HaChaim. Chelek Bet in Or HaChaim. Siman Ayin Hey. It was published in 1964. And he gets the question right out. He's writing to Harav Natan Gedalia Neidel. I don't know who that was, but I do know that at the OU Center, there's on their faculty teaching, there's a Rabbi Neidel, N-A-D-E-L. It could very well be a grandson of this Rabbi Neidel. There's no date on the tshuva, but it's probably late 50s, I would say, early 60s. And he's asking b'davah hamashkad shel minei soda im yesh lahem din chama medina lekadesh b'shacha ulachavdil bi'alma. And very powerful question, soda, and he spells it soda, samach aleph dalet ayin. It's the Yiddish spelling for soda. And in the Hebrew we spell it Samach Vav Dalet Hey, but this is the way they spelt it in Yiddish. And can you make Kiddush in the morning? Can you make Havdalah on soda? And here, Reb Moshe, you got to look into the Chaval, summarize his concept of Chama Medina. His concept of a Chama Medina is something you drink because it's a covet. It's an honor. Someone is honoring you by offering you this drink. It's not something you drink to quench your thirst. Water, we all drink water. Water to quench your thirst. No one in this room is going to drink water if they're not thirsty. At least if we're stupid, that would be our practice. I'm stupid, I never drink water unless I'm thirsty. My wife tells me for health, for kidneys, you have to drink. I don't know, her doctor tells us. So how many liter a day do you have to drink? How many pints a day? What do you say, Yomo?
It depends on the person, but an average around 2 liters.
2 liters a day. How does that translate into pints? Go to the computer and you'll come up with it. Okay. But you see, water, generally speaking, we drink to quench our thirst. What is Chama Medina? Something that it's an honor for you to drink. You'll offend the person if you won't drink it. Effie, tell Eli I miss him. Effie, tomorrow's the day, by the way. Tomorrow, I hope you can be here. If not, hit your chavruta and drag him up by the neck. Darn it. What I have to put up with, unbelievable. You can stay in America to learn Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Understand? Israel has something special. You have Rabbi Bednash. You don't find Rabbi Bednash elsewhere. Come back here. People will not be offended. Someone says, Scotty, have a drink of water. You say you're not thirsty. Tell me. Schnapps? We drink schnapps because we're thirsty? Absolutely not. We can have drunk a ton of water. Someone comes along, have a schnapps. Ah, you drink. Ah, what a good feeling. The whole body is invigorated. It's not water. It's schnapps. More than that. Someone offers you schnapps and you don't drink, it's insulting. So I'm quoting Reb Moshe now. Vic made a collation in honor of my recent birthday. No, he's pouring the brandy. Dov, you're not going to take brandy? It's like an insult to him. Follow me? Alachayim. Jews. Atikun. Every morning, what it meant, the old world. Shtibble in Poland, Mitzibalach and Herin, and Alachayim, Jews who had no money. They went to shul, they had breakfast. Ah, it's just criminal what's happened, the average stupid person. Yitzchak hit the nail on the head before class. I reacted exactly the way you reacted. This morning on my way to shul, so someone says to me, yeah, but he shouldn't have said anything. I said, you idiot. He was being interviewed by Yediot. They asked him, what would you do if your children are homos? He said, thank God my children were raised in a proper atmosphere and they live a normative life the way a person should live, proper marriages. The world has gone crazy. You know what's going on? You looked at Yediot, you looked at Haaretz. Avrami, we need another 1 million good Jews here. Do me a favor and publicize it. It's Eretz Yisrael. This is it. This is it. It's after the Holocaust. You know what happened Friday night in the Ukraine? By Rabbi, a pogrom. Mamash a pogrom. We need, Canada, Muncie, Gutzalupin, Pittsburgh. We need you here. And we need you here. Kedat v'kedin, Jews in Muncie are learning how to shoot rifles. They're serving the Israeli army, turn it into a one big shtibbel, but a shtibbel with guns and rifles and technical advancement. You don't know what's going on. You should meet some of my grandsons. Uraim v'shleimim, but wow. Okay, back here. Someone offers you a schnapps, you turn it down, you're embarrassing him. That Moshe says, that's chama bedina. What you're not drinking because you're thirsty. You're drinking because this is a covet. This is exciting. This has intoxication. This lifts you. This bonds you. Chevra, Jews, connection. Wow. Okay. And Moshe.
What does it say about Coca-Cola?
Relax. Reb Moshe, and he says, even if once in a while, I'm quoting him, yeah, Reb Moshe lived in America, he knew what was going on. Someone gives you cold water to drink. Even cold water during the summer, you're only going to drink it if you're thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to drink it. But wine, whiskey, beer, that's something that covered Lioma. It's nothing to do with being thirsty. And that's something you're going to drink even if you're totally filled with water. And he put soda in exactly that category. You don't drink soda unless you're thirsty. There's no such thing as someone being machabed you with a cup. Yeah, when you're fasting, I remember before I learned the secret of caffeine withdrawal, I remember on every fast day, all I was dreaming about was a glass of cola, a cup of coffee. All right? That's when you're thirsty. You're not going to drink it. You're not going to force yourself. It's not like a shot of liquor that you can have drunk five glasses of soda beforehand. But liquor is liquor. And Reb Moshe puts soda in the same category as water. Ein lekadesh v'ein lehavdil alav. B'dieved, Reb Moshe agrees. Look, you can't argue with the Aruch HaShulchan. Reb Moshe has said many times about the Aruch HaShulchan, v'kein hora oto zakein, right or wrong. You know where Reb Moshe says that? The most famous place? No, can anyone tell me? Kriyat Shema, benching. A woman is sitting at the table, a married woman, her hair is uncovered. Is it divrei Torah kenegata erva? You yotzei. You understand what I'm talking about? This is a real problem. A rabbi is being masada kedushin, and a woman is standing under the chuppah, and the Eibishter should have mercy how much her dress covers of her body. Right or wrong? In Eretz Yisrael, what we have with the tzoha weddings, so they bring along a scarf, I would call that. I don't know, maybe it's a better word, a kerchief, and they put it on for the chuppah. But in America, you can't get away with that, at least not in my time as a rav. No, you got to look down, you got to read. Your reading is if you're an Amoritz Gomor, Baruch Atah, HaKadoshanu B'mitzvotav, Tzivanu Al HaRayot. You can't look at the Chatan V'Kala. No, what about a married woman who's dressed properly, but her hair is uncovered? Reb Moshe's famous tshuva, and he says, Kva hora oto zakein, referring to the Aruch HaShulchan, that Bizman Hazeh, when we're so accustomed to women going with their hair uncovered, it is chal, the bracha, you can be mavarech, you don't have to look away, you don't have to look askance, you don't have to look down. And Rav Moshe Paskin's exactly the same way. And believe me, on this level, the Hasidic poskim take a totally different stand, both from the Aruch HaShulchan and both from Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe can't dismiss the Aruch HaShulchan. He said, b'dieved, chalav, and tea. And Rav Moshe, in the final paragraph, he says, but doche gadol, if you have no choice, nothing is available, then b'dieved, you can make havdalah on tea or chalav. Bread you can't use, but at least it's some sort of liquid of chashivot. Which is more important? Which one should you choose? And here Rav Moshe, very powerful, he says, could very well be that tea is more important. Why is tea more important? Because in Europe, it was a covet. People honored you with tea. Who here is from England? Who here has been invited to the Queen to have 4 o'clock tea with her? Right or wrong? Avremi, you know what goes on in the British Empire? 4 o'clock tea. It's the high-class Jews who lived in England 100, 110 years ago. It's once at Montefiore's house, at Rothschild's house. 4 o'clock, what they brought out, a silver tray, all types of beautiful kosher cakes and tea. So Rav Moshe says, mitzad zeh, it looks like that tea would be more important than milk. But nevertheless, it could be that milk is healthier. It's got vitamins in it, calcium. I need not tell you, milk, the Israeli industry, the innovations, the milk, the shoot-offs of the industry, could be from that point of view, milk is more important. In Europe, Moshe says, when he was growing up, tea was more important. Could be in America, milk is more important. And he says, with due humility, I cannot decide. Ein biyadi lahachriya, you have freedom of choice. But then he says, soda gam bishat hadachak lo yikadesh velo yavdil alav. Okay. So Rav Moshe's psak, it echoes Rav Menashe Klein. They're both speaking the same language. They can't find a way to be matzdik, being mavdil on soda. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam
she'akol ni'yeh b'dvaro. You know, in the shul with the Rebbe kids, you have, though he serves water, they'll make a big thing to have soda.
Right. Okay, 1 second. Before we go any further, I have to tell you, I've had a few students that studied with me, both in America in the 60s, and afterwards in BMT. Actually, beginning in 69 already, I had students both, particularly in the early 70s, only a limited time that this could happen. One of the students who studied with me, both America and Israel, is Rabbi Norman Schloss. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And Ellie, do you drink Coca-Cola on Pesach?
Yes.
Yes, Baruch Hashem. We have in Israel Coca-Cola with a Hechsher. I think in New York too you can get it. I remember one year there was a shortage of the low calorie of the, but I know on the West Coast you can get it. Anyone who drinks Coca-Cola on Pesach is being somech on my student, Rabbi Norman Schloss. Dovi, you know what I mean by that? He works for the OU. He goes to Ireland around January. I believe he's going shortly. Goes to Ireland, and he oversees in Ireland. There is a Coca-Cola plant that makes the essence that is used all over the world. And he's the Rav HaMakshir for the OU for Pesach. He has many different minhagim, how to stay alive. For instance, what do you eat? You're traveling all over. He always buys salmon. He wraps it in silver foil, and he heats it up on the radiators, or he irons it. He irons it with an iron. Every hotel, there's an iron available. He irons the salmon, and he eats salmon, vegetables, Coca-Cola. What more do you need? So, and he said, Kamat Chakam and Yerei Shamayim. I want a quote from an email to his Rebbe, etc. Just one part now. By the way, in the South, Coca-Cola is considered Chamar de Medina. So here you have a Machlokes HaPoskim, Reb Moshe Feinstein and Reb Menashe Klein versus Rabbi Norman Schloss, MTA graduate, Yeshiva College graduate, Reitz graduate, student at BMT Elliott, and he takes on Reb Moshe. I have to tell you, Yesh lo alma lismoch. There's no question today that if you remove the factor of getting drunk, a good, as Reb Ovadia said, Tam HaChayim, Coca-Cola is a very chashuv drink. It's all over the world. If you want to know how chashuv it is, I take you back to Russia, the 1980s. I'm following a couple, Malka and Aaron Rakefet, working for the Mossad in communist Russia, in order to buy, I believe it was Pepsi-Cola. You had to have foreign currency, and you could only buy it in the Beryuska, the foreign currency shop. Ad kedei kach was it considered chashuv. The average Russian could only dream about it. And at Chata'ai, ani maskir hayom, that Motzoi Shabbos, I made Havdalah on the Pepsi-Cola bought in the Beryuska. I really had no choice. Wine I didn't have. I did have hard liquor you could buy in Russia in the Beryuska, but I didn't want to run the risk Saturday night, one of my busiest nights of teaching Torah, teaching about Eretz Yisrael, so I didn't want to drink anything intoxicating. And Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, I could drink a shear without any question. So on that level, bidyavad, in these extenuating circumstances, I'm Samach on Rabbi Norman Schloss. I repeat again, in the South, Coca-Cola is considered Chamar de Medina. But let me go to be one step further, and this you'll take back and ask the question in Australia. My dear students, my daughter came back from the Ukraine, visiting all the sites of the Rebbeim. I have one daughter who has these Hasidic tendencies. More than tendencies today, it's reality. All right. She brought us back a bottle of water from the Baal Shem Tov stream, where tradition has it that the Baal Shem Tov drank water. Now I want to show you what's for sale today. Yitzchak, can you read it?
No.
Elliot, can you read it?
Lubavitchy.
Natural drinking water. English, Russian, Hashkacha, water from the hamlet of Lubavitch, the spring where the original Lubavitch began and the Alter Rebbe drank water. And here it's bottled. Eli is a Litvak from Whitmere. They hear what? When? Italian bottled water, Fizzle, the Pellegrini, whatever it's called. Is there a chassid in the class? You know what a bottle of water like this is worth? Now I want to ask you, can you make dollar on it or can't you? All right? Frega Shaila from a Chabad Posek. And if he tells you you can't make Havdalah, boy, I don't understand him. That's all I can say. Don't ask me. Ask him.
Where did you see this at?
It was sent to me. Where did I see it? Here. In grocery stores. It's on anash.org. Anash means Anshei Shlomeinu. It's one of the Chabad websites. It was probably sent to me by my Talmidim in Chabad that are probably listening at this.
Make copies.
I'll make copies. Okay, I can't make copies yet. I have to wait until the machine.
That's why Israelis or Florida, they sell you a little can.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
No, that was being sold here, but the government stopped it. They were selling cans of air from Israel.
Why did they stop
it? I think they felt it was misleading. It's can. But by the way, most of the buyers were non-Jews. The evangelists coming here, something, a can of air from Israel, all right, but it cheapens Avira Diara. Okay, but wow, this, when I saw this, I said, Rebbeinu Shalom, Reb Meisha, Reb Menashe Klein, and here, Lubavitch, water for a Lubavitcher? He might dafka say, I want to make Havdalah.
I think it's a big
ripoff. Herbie, your problem is you got to develop, forget about Rabbi Types now, forget about Rabbi Siegel, forget about these rabbis, forget about Rabbi Zakheim. You got to experience what Hasidus is. It's not simple. I once had a Talmud in the Kollel who said to me, Rebbe, they, you know, Chanukah night by every Rebbe.
By the way, my great-grandparents and their parents from Belgium.
Also, mendaf v'shtei, was das mean?
I'm not.
We know you're not, if you ask such a question. Avramel, he's a survivor who survived by miracles. Books have been written, a movie was made about the lady who hid them, who became a Hasidah Umat Olam, if you know what that means here. It's a very big thing. So we got to forgive Herbie for his comments. But Herbie, you got to... The Rav once cried... Duvi, move around. I want to look at Herbie's face. It's okay. The Rav once cried, Yutet Kislev, 1969, I believe it was. He spoke at the Yutet Kislev Fabringen in Boston. And it's on tape. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. I've heard it many times. The Rav, I'm tight up from Yiddish. I wish I were a chassid, he says. I have such pain. You know, he lost his wife and he lost what he went through, his mother, his brother and his wife in 1 year. He says, I'm jealous of chassidim. They go to a Rebbe. They unburden themselves. The Rebbe takes away part of the pain. I'm not a chassid. I can't get rid of it. But you understand that's chassidus. A litvak, a bottle of water is water. A bottle of water from Lubavitch?
Not if you're
a chassid. That's the Golden Heights. All right, agreed. Let me just end off 1 second further. In addition, I want to tell you my Talmud Normi Shlas. You can look it up, Hilchat Shabbos, Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, Sif Katan Yud Bet. So he deals with the old problem. When do you wash when you make Kiddush? When do you wash? What's our minchak? What do? We make Kiddush, we wash, and we make a motzi. If you look into the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins the Ramah that it's better to wash before everything.
And
the Yekke is right. And Norman Schles is a Yekke from his name Schles. I used to call him Do you remember him? Was he in your time?
No, but I know him.
I used to call him the resident Yekka. Terrific guy. And let me tell you, Rami, the secret of being a good Jew is to love all Jews. See, each one, we each a little different, each one, where you fit in, where you're happy, but not to be negative towards anyone else. So he was a real Yekka, and we used to call him the resident Yekka. So the Rama Paskins washed before, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Mr. Brewer explains, look, you know, people, first of all, you get all mixed up. It's you're sitting at the table, you're walking away. It could be it's much better to wash before. You get it all done, and there's no hefsek. It's all leman hasuda. You should know the briska hold, there's no hefsek whatsoever. The briska hold, washing is one thing, and then your hands are clean, then you can make a bracha, but you're allowed to speak. I've seen briska right after they wash. They'll talk, they'll speak something none of us do. And they hold zelichud v'zelichud. There's no halacha that immediately. In other words, if you wash and you make a tanah that this is going to cover me all day, it could be it covers you all day. If you're careful not to touch anything with your hands, you washed. You did not feel it, you're dying. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's better wash. There's no hefsek. And you've seen the achronim. It's brought down particularly the Hasidic world where people gather. You have a sudat mitzvah and there's a big crowd. And even if you're entertaining, you can have 20 people. I've been invited to homes Friday night, there are 20 people. No, if everyone gets up this way, you wash, you're there for Kiddush, you make a motzi. So Normie says that his sheeter is that originally he thinks the people were poor and they didn't have wine. And that's why they washed, because the Kiddush was made over bread, and then you certainly have to wash. And that's why the Rama Paskin in Eastern Europe who had wine, people were poor. So even if you do have wine, lo plug, better for everyone to wash first, make Kiddush, and then the motzi. Fine. He says, where he lives in Atlanta, Georgia, whenever he invites people, he's makpid, they should all do like the Yekkas. He says, it's not just like the Yekkas. That's the way the Rama Paskins. And if the Rama Paskins that way, at least once, let's do it right. By the way, when we have guests for Shabbos, we all wash first. And I tell them it is important that one follows the Rama and does things correctly at least once in their lives. It should also be noted that in many summer camps, the minhag is to wash before Kiddush due to the number of people involved. Also adopted by many people to wash before Kiddush or Sukkot, wash, go into the sukkah and stay there. And I want to say, I have a suspicion, I've seen with Shirayim, the Rebbe, they bring the Rebbe a big cup, and you know, and a pail, and he washes, and he makes a bracha on the bread, and then they start giving out the Shirayim all over. I don't see any chassid going to wash. So I'm a lamitzchot that they washed before, like the Rama. So, all right, my dear Talmud, Noam Mishlas, argues with Reb Meisher on the soda, and the Rebbe threw in a new development, Lubavitch water, and very fascinating, his whole theory, when they were poor, they all had bread, that's all they could make Kiddush on, so lachatchila, you wash before Kiddush. And the Rama says, lo plug, and there can be many reasons why it is healthier to do. Davi, let me confess, in my house, my children's homes, we make Kiddush and then wash. Could be one part of the family, I can't be certain, because that son-in-law is a Yekka by birth. I don't know how much control, though he was raised in YU, etc. But that's what we do. I'm just trying to think in the army, when Shabbos we were together, I think we washed before the Kiddush. Because it simply was a lot easier to do it that way then to start pandemonium, you know, not everyone there is from, they'll start talking, going out. This way you make Kiddush, make the motzi, and the Suda can begin. All right, to reiterate, what did we do today? Halacha l'maisa, very interesting Reb Moshe's definition. Something you drink, alps covered. Nothing to do with being thirsty. Nevertheless, soda and water are ruled out. Reb Menashe Klein gives the same psak regarding soda and water. Both of them hem and haw in relation to tea and milk. You can't dismiss the Erech HaShulchan so easily. B'diyevid, they're both matir. Which is better? Reb Moshe remains, it's up to you to decide. He can see panim lekan v'panim lekan. The queen serves tea at 4, but if you're British, you add milk to the tea. Very interesting. So it shows you, even going into Buckingham Palace, which is so much in the news right now with the young couple breaking free, and boy, that's a sad comment. We as Torah Jews should tell them off. Davi, the reason you're sitting here is not because, only because you choose. The reason you're sitting here is the blood in your veins. You have, we're not the Western world. The Western world, the pshat is here today, nothing else counts, there was no yesterday, and who gives a hoot about tomorrow? Look at the American Congress. Isn't this the message you're getting? The blood in your veins. You're a Jew. You have responsibility to the past so that there'll be a future. You follow? And you're born royal blood? What a privilege. You have responsibility to the generations before you, to your people. Yes, royalty. There's a lot behind it. Throw it all away. You want to be like Rakefet? You don't have that choice. But that's the Western world today. Denouncing your place in the royal family. At the museum, the Wax Museum, Trousseau Museum in London, they already removed the statues of the prince and princess. Beyond words how quickly they work to get rid of them. But I come down on the side of the queen. I feel for her. And by the way, she's one of the greatest people. This is a lady that we can learn from. And when her sons were born, you know who did the Brit Milah? The chief mohel of London. Don't forget that. And when they asked her, why not, remember, they asked her, why not a doctor, a surgeon? She said, when I go to a doctor, I want a doctor who's had the most experience. When I need circumcision, I have to go to the person who's done it the most. The head mohel of London has done it thousands of times, tens of thousands. Doctors have only done it tens of times. What an answer. First of all, about tomorrow, it's a very important class. I'm in the heart of very delicate material. And I'm saying it as I understand it. Future generations will come back to these lectures. I hope there'll be more for them. I'll talk about that tomorrow. But we're still caught up with Rabbi Rachman and the Rav and some side issues that have come along as a result of the lectures. And very fascinating material. I'm bringing in Reb Menachem Alon Yitzchak tomorrow, as you will see. So Be'ezrat Hashem, yesh ma la'asot. Now the freebies, I want to mention, first of all, the whole system is down here, so I haven't gotten emails since Tuesday, Wednesday. It's impossible here, the repair. No cooperation with the Rebbe who works around the clock. It's not easy for me, because I don't like things to pile up, because then there's a backlog, and I have to keep moving all the time. Remember, I'm the only person in this building who's here 6 days a week. No one else is here 6 days a week. Got it? Everyone else has vacation days. That the word vacation, Ellie, does not exist in my vocabulary. I have never worked a day in my life. I voted Hashem. I voted HaKodesh B'Katev Yisrael. A Talmud of mine, a dear Talmud, was my student twice over, not MTA and BMT, BMT in the Kollel, the famous Rabbi Ari Kahn. Beautiful article on the Vilna Gaon that appeared in the Jerusalem Post about a week ago. And I know about the Vilna Gaon. Maybe the first time he heard lectures on it were lectures from me and BMT. It's a very balanced article. There are a lot of problems with the Gaon. I don't know how much of you are aware of it. In other words, people, was he a Zionist? Wasn't he a Zionist? Why did he come in Aliyah? Why didn't he come in Aliyah? He started out. So I highly recommend this article. Here's an article by Rabbi Wein, that I totally identify with. During my recent stay in the United States last month, I was invited to speak in a few institutions at certain events taking place in the New York area. I accepted a number of these institutions. I spoke at a leading institution of learning that is usually identified as being the flagship of the modern Orthodox section of American Jewry. Evidently, he means YU. I also spoke at a banquet held in honor of one of the oldest Haredi yeshiva here in Israel. Whatever that was, Eitz Chaim, Chayei Olam, Chevron. I was gratified that my words were received well at both venues, and I gave some thought to any political implications that others may derive from the fact that I was the speaker at both events. I don't know if it means some thought or no thought. However, last week, someone here in Israel who apparently knew of my schedule in the United States remarked to me, "I thought you are a man of principle, but I see you are willing to speak for completely conflicting ideologies and to do so without compunction." And Rabbi Wein goes on, and I was taken aback by this comment, and the whole article is to justify what he did. Let it be said that Aaron Rekefet comes down on the side of Rabbi Beryl Wein 100%. Here is in relation to the Siyum Hashas, women, Rabbi Avner's psak that it is forbidden to teach Gemara to women. So Rabbi Norman Schless is not the only one that takes on Gedolei Yisrael. Rabbi Avener takes on Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, etc. All right, let it hang fire. This issue is not going to go away. It haunts us, continue to haunt us. The Haredi world can't laugh at us either. There's already a Haredi Beit Medrash for women, based Yaakov graduates studying Gemara. So I stand on what I've said. The more Gemara women will learn, the frimmer they'll be, and the more they'll understand the Vahashem Zu Halacha. And in Israel, I'm being proven correct. It's interesting. America, as we'll see tomorrow or next Monday as well, it's a different story. Here again, Coca-Cola in the news. How Coca-Cola became kosher. It's the famous story of Rav Tobias Geffen. Fascinating. And here are two articles, the same from the New York Times. I'm glad that Eli isn't here to hear about this. Weinstein heads to trial in a case seen as larger than one man. And this is about Harvey Weinstein. And his trial began. What's going on with the jurors, if you're following it. It's unbelievable with such a Jewish name, and Epstein who committed suicide, who gave hundreds of millions of dollars to yeshiva, to day schools. God, when we sin, the Gemara says, when a Jew falls, he falls lower than anyone. But I tell you, I don't comprehend it. You have a wife, you're married, you have a good life together. It's beyond my comprehension. But all right. But you got, it's unbelievable what this man is accused of. All right. This is Chavruta from not YU, but from Pades Institute. And in my humble opinion, it's my opinion, I may be all wrong, but this is pluralism, it destroys all of Yiddishkeit. And it breaks my heart, some of the people involved here are YU graduates. Not all, but some. And hell, all right, that's beyond my words. But you got to read this to see what comes out of them. This one became Orthodox, this one Reconstructionist, this one Conservative, this one Reform. Pluralism, you got to see some of the pictures of the women learning Gemara and the way they're dressed. Ribbono shel Olam, it's like standing under the chuppah, what I spoke about before. Someone is throwing away The Economist, published in London. Anyone here who's aware of finances in the world, very interesting issues. And you see the greatness of Israel. We have one of the strongest economies in the world. It's not Rakefet saying it, who's trying to build up the Gemara at the end of Ketuvot. You only can speak well of Eretz Yisrael. It's the Economist from London saying it. V'kein hala, v'tolichenu komu miyut le'atzenu. I don't like people who say, the standard of living here is getting too high. The advertisements in Mishpacha for what's available in Israel, what, only beautiful food and beautiful this. I say, let Israel, the Gemara and Shabbos, they export via Mota Mashiach silk clothes and beautiful food from Israel. We have to be on the highest level in the world. And people have to come here, halavai, not running away, but running up. I just sent the bracha to someone coming aliyah, tolichenu komu miyut le'atzenu. And finally, I'm going to give this to Yitzchak to give to Michael Miller. The Rebbe, due to his student in America, continues to contribute to the Efrat Library. Chimps or champs? Duvi, in a million years you won't understand one word of the book. It's about the New York Yankees, the last great Yankee teams, 96 into the early 2000s, how they came to be built. And boy, you read this, you see Seichel, what's more important? Great players, but they're past their prime, or young kids who you can develop. That's what Torah is all about. Take the youngsters, inspire them, and they will become Gedolei Yisrael. Don't just cry, a generation is going away. Who will equal them? Yiftach b'doro k'shmuel b'doro, okay? All right, I want to wish you good hatzlacha in your work in Tel Aviv. And when you get back to Australia, halavai, you should have what to get back to. V'day l'chakima. I just read about a girl living in Melbourne who says she can't see the sun. There's so much smoke from what's going on 80 kilometers away. And I want to thank Avremi for honoring me with his presence. Until we meet again tomorrow at 9:05 in health and happiness. Das v'danya. Thank you very, very much. Excuse me? What are you saying?